following program is produced by the Living Church of God.
When will Jesus Christ actually return to this earth? Is it going to be in 5 years or in 500 years? Can we know fairly closely the time when this momentous event will take place? I'm going to prove to you, my friends, some vital keys to understanding. I'm going to give you information you probably have never understood before. Stay tuned.
Tomorrow's World. The Living Church of God presents Dr. Roderick C. Meredith, Richard Ames, bringing you the good news of your future in tomorrow's world. This week, Dr. Roderick C. Meredith asks, when will Christ return? And now, Dr. Roderick C. Meredith.
Imagine the bold headlines on newspapers all over the earth. Jesus Christ has returned. Wow! Wouldn't that make headlines on television, on radio, on newspapers, everywhere? Pollsters have found that nearly 1 out of 4 professing Christian adults in America expect Jesus Christ to return in their lifetimes. All kinds of self-appointed prophets have been setting date for Christ's return early in this new millennium. But most mainstream church leaders and many others outside religion, they're very cautious and they're very skeptical. The liberals among them don't believe Christ actually performed miracles. They don't believe in Jesus' virgin birth. They don't believe in Jesus' literal resurrection from the dead. So why should they believe that Christ is going to literally return to planet Earth? The key, my friends, is to believe what the Bible actually says. Most people don't do that. They read little bits and pieces, and they don't let the Bible interpret the Bible, and they get sentimental or biased about just one aspect, and they don't let the whole Bible let them know what's going on at all. They don't let Scripture interpret Scripture. And, of course, we've got to be careful also not to pervert or to let other men pervert our understanding of what the Bible says. For instance, I have before me an article on prophecy written by a professor of religion. This man is well known, and this is a well known magazine and respected magazine. And he's just typical of what these religious leaders often say. In this article, he says, often the last book in our Bibles will carry a title like the Revelation of St. John the Divine. St. John would not have approved, he says. He was not interested in drawing attention to himself. Neither was he interested in revealing clues for calculating dates for the end time. Instead, this man writes here now, John wrote the Revelation to reveal one thing, the gospel, or good news, of the one who is Jesus Christ and what he accomplishes. That's amazing. He says the whole purpose of Revelation is to reveal one thing, the gospel, which of course is good news, and the good news of who Jesus Christ is and what he accomplishes. That's what this man says the whole book of Revelation was written for. Is it true that Jesus Christ inspired this book just to tell about himself and so on, and the good news about him? Let's notice what the book of Revelation actually says. That's the key, my friend. You've got to learn to start studying and analyzing this. We are near the end of an age, but you will not understand your headlines in your newspapers and on television unless you understand this book. This revelation from God Almighty to tell us the purpose of human existence and to give us the main keys and the main clues to understanding where we are in God's timetable. Notice Revelation chapter 1. Here's what Christ himself said in inspiring this book about why it was written. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him, it's not the revelation of John, it's the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God the Father, gave him to show his servants things which must shortly take place. Events that are going to happen before the coming of Christ. That should be very plain, and yet this man writes exactly the opposite. He says it's just to tell us about Jesus. And he sent and signified it by his angel to his servant John, who bore witness to the word of God. This is the revelation from God, and to the testimony of Jesus Christ. And that's not testimony about Jesus' death and resurrection. This doesn't cover that in here. It's the testimony of Christ where Christ directly speaks in the book of Revelation. If you read it, you'll see that. If Christ is directly speaking and John is simply quoting him in many passages, just as the stenographer would literally take down the words of her boss who's dictating to her, to the testimony of Jesus Christ and to all the things that he saw. And he saw all kinds of powerful things in the book of Revelation, telling us about the meaning of the time of the end, telling us what's going to happen. I just want to give you a quick overview, and then I'll give you more later. But you'll notice if you're following me in your Bible, and I challenge you to do that, please get your Bible at this point, open your Bible, check up on me, prove these things to yourself. I want you to do that. You can understand if you're willing to study this book. But chapter 1, if you'll skim over it, talks about Christ and his face shining like the sun in the following verses and the glory of God. Chapters 2 and 3 tell about the seven ages or eras of God's church. Chapter 4 tells again about the glory of God, the magnificence of God's throne in heaven. Chapter 5 continues that, showing that Christ is at God's right hand, and then how he was worthy to open the seals that are pictured there. Chapter 6 is where it begins to actually give what's going to happen, and then it tells one thing after the other, powerful events that are going to occur, including in verse 8, Revelation 6, verse 8, he sees a pale horse, the name of him sat on was Death, and Hades followed him, and power is given to them over a quarter of the earth to kill with the sword, with hunger, and with death, and by the beasts of the earth. One quarter of human beings. You talk about, you know, some little thing here and there. That's what's going to happen before Christ's return. Now, I perhaps humorously or, you know, whatever, digressed at the beginning and talked about the fact what headlines might appear, you know, but frankly, there aren't going to be any headlines. There aren't going to be any newspapers published on that day and at that time. There aren't going to be any television stations operating when Christ actually comes to that earth on that day. Every mountain and every island will be shaken out of its place. I think most people can't even begin to realize the awesome things that are going to occur because they don't read this book. They just use their human imagination, or they listen to these people that have their own ideas, but they're not literally quoting the Bible, reading it to you, proving it to you. If you read the Bible, you can begin to understand the awesome things that are going to take place. And so we need to grasp these things, and then we will understand the direct order of events and about when Jesus Christ will return to this earth. And now let's go ahead here at this point and begin to understand Revelation chapter 1. And let's notice, my friends, that Jesus said he's going to show them events which must shortly take place. He says in chapter 6 here, and beginning verse 1, Christ the Lamb opened these seals of the book of Revelation. And here we find, first of all, a white horse coming. A white horse, and he who sat upon him had a crown and a bow, and he was given sent out to conquer. And then, of course, in verse 3, the second seal is beginning to be opened, and he pictures a fiery red horse going out to take peace from the earth. So then you have wars. Then the third seal is pictured in verse 5. You have a famine, lack of food. And then, of course, in verse 8, the pale horse, which I described a little earlier. And here you have a horse which pictures terrible plagues coming on the earth, disease epidemics, and death and Hades, or the grave, followed them, and power was given to them over one-fourth of the earth. One-quarter of the entire population of the earth. That would be 1.5 billion human beings. I don't think our minds can fully grasp that. But that's what Christ says is going to happen. And when he, Christ, this is Christ doing this, verse 9, opened the fifth seal, he sees the souls of the saints crying out who had been killed in time past. And they're crying out, "How long, O Lord, holy and true, until you judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth?" And so you find here another great tribulation. It tells them that they should rest a little while longer, verse 11, until their fellow servants and their brethren, who would be killed as they were, was completed. Then in verse 12, I looked, and behold, the sixth seal, and there was a great earthquake, a massive earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the stars of heaven fell to the earth, and every mountain and every island moved out of its place. These are awesome things that must take place. Christ is not coming tonight. Think about it. Christ is not coming tonight. Christ is not coming tomorrow night or even next year. Now, some of you out there are thinking, how dare you make that kind of statement? I know that. I'm making that statement because Christ himself has outlined, as I just gave you quickly here, several places in the Bible, an entire series of events which must happen before he returns to this earth. And you and I can watch these events take place, and we're told to do that. We can watch them take place step by step until Christ returns. So I want you to do that. I'm going to outline these events and tell you what to watch for specifically and when Christ will return to this earth. At this point, I urge you to call or write today. Be sure you get on that phone. Call or write today and request a free audio tape of this very program. You'll enjoy reviewing this. And then you can review it in your car, going to and from work or at home, whenever you want to. You may want to share it with friends. This tape will be sent to you absolutely free upon your request. We have no price, no charge on any of our literature, our tapes, anything, nothing. So write or call today and request your free audio tape of this program.
This informative audio tape is yours absolutely free. No cost, no obligation. If you call this toll-free number, 1-800-934-5579. That's 1-800-934-5579. Or send your request to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 501-304. San Diego, California, 92150. With this offer, you will also receive your free subscription to Tomorrow's World magazine, full of timely articles and unique insights on today's important issues. No cost, no obligation to you. Call today.
Now back to our topic. When will Jesus Christ return to this earth? How do I know that Christ won't return tonight, as I said before the break? How do I know that he will not return even next year? Those are bold statements. How dare I say that? Because, I repeat, Christ himself said so. He gave an entire panorama of events that are going to occur before he comes. And they're underway, but they're not that far along at all. Again, let's go to the book of Revelation that gives a pretty good picture of all these events. Remember that chapter 1 tells us that Christ is going to give us the understanding of what's going to take place, events that you're to watch. Chapters 2, 3, or 4 are introductory, and 5. In chapter 6, you begin to get the seals of God that Christ began to open. And he talks here about false prophets, about, of course, wars, about famine, disease epidemics. And then he talks about the great tribulation that's going to occur, a huge persecution on Christians. And as I've explained in other programs very clearly, it also involves a tremendous persecution, a national tribulation, not just on the Jewish people, but all the descendants of the 12 tribes of Israel. And that includes America and Britain, the British descended peoples, when you understand. Then in verse 12 of chapter 6 of Revelation, you find that Christ opens the sixth seal, and you find a massive earthquake occurring here, and then the stars of heaven falling, the sun and moon jerked out of their places, every mountain and island moved out of their places. Awesome things, all of which are to occur in this order before the second coming of Christ. Then in chapter 7, and again I challenge you to follow me, check up on me, let you just read through the Bible and see what I'm saying. In chapter 7, you find the sealing of the 144,000 to be protected from the coming trumpet plagues, and then the setting aside of the great innumerable multitude. And in chapter 8, then, you come to the seventh seal. Revelation 8, verse 1, when he'd opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about half an hour. And I saw the seven angels who stand before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. Then another angel came, and to him was given much incense that he should offer with the prayers of the saints. And so now he prays to God about this events that are to come, and they went up to God's throne, no doubt to protect God's people from these terrible things. So the seven trumpets who had the seven angels who had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. Now notice verse 7. The first angel sounded, and hail and fire followed, mingled with blood, and they were thrown to the earth, and a third of the trees were burned up, and all green grass was burned up. Every bit of green grass on this earth. God Almighty is going to intervene and shake people to their foundations. People reason around. We say, you're to obey God's law and do what God says. They say, well, this is the way I look at it. And it's too hard to keep the Ten Commandments. Or they were nailed to the cross or done away. Or my minister says this. Or I grew up doing that. And so I'm going to stick to my guns. Well, people are going to have to be shaken. And then they'll be willing to do what God says. And God's going to begin to do that here in these trumpet plagues. Then the second angel sounded, verse 8, Revelation 8, verse 8, follow me. And something like a great mountain burning with fire was thrown into the sea, and the third of the sea becomes blood. One third of the massive oceans of this earth become blood. And the third of the living creatures in the sea died, and a third of the ships all over the earth were destroyed. Verse 10, then the third angel sounded, and he finds another great awesome thing, and the fourth angel strike the sun and moon, and they were darkened, and so on. Horrible things taking place all over this earth, taking the lives, obviously, of millions and eventually billions of human beings. It really does. Then the fifth angel sounded, and you find a tremendous type of war going on. And we have described that elsewhere, but I'm not going to get in and prove that. Undoubtedly a war and a counterattack. And then in verse 13 of chapter 9, you find the sixth angel sounded, and they released the four angels bound in the river Euphrates. And this massive army of 200 million men began to move across. Perhaps a Russian, Chinese, Mongolian horde coming across to fight this beast power that I described last week. And they were released to do what? Verse 15, a third of mankind. They were released to kill a third of mankind. Revelation 9 and verse 15. I don't think our minds can grasp that. One third of 6 billion people on the earth today would be 2 billion people. But if 1.5 billion are already dead, as I indicated, that could occur earlier in the plagues or in the seals, then, of course, you'd only have 4.5 billion, and if one-third of them were killed, that would be 1.5 billion. But you have to add that to the other, of course, 1.5 billion that were killed earlier, you would have an awesome number of people. You really would. You'd have about 3 billion human beings. I don't enjoy telling you that. I'm just saying you what this telling you what this indicates in the Word of God. The great God is not going to have people continue to thumb their nose in His face and to say, I don't care what you say. I'm going to do what I want to do, when I want to do it, and how I want to do it. And God is trying to wake people up so they will really come out of this religious confusion and be willing to listen to Him. That's what it's all about. And so this army of 200 million people are described here. And of course, he says in verse 18, by these three plagues, a third of mankind was killed by the fire and the smoke and the brimstone which came out of their mouths of this terrible army that's going to rise up. And in verse 21, they did not repent of their murders or their sorceries or their sexual immorality or their thefts. We permit every type of rotten form of sexual immorality in this nation, and now we're even trying to protect it in every way we can. And God Almighty says it's going to stop, and it's going to stop totally before the second coming of Christ. He's not going to have that. So we have to realize that fact, my friend. In chapter 11, you'll notice two witnesses, two human beings, are going to rise up. And they are going to be walking up and down the streets of Jerusalem, which by this time is taken over by the beast. This coming European dictator is going to move his headquarters down there. And they prophesy, as you'll see here, for 42 months, 1,260 days. And all of that is 3.5 years. It says 42 months elsewhere in Revelation, and it tells it a number of ways, a time, times, half a time. The Great Tribulation, lasting 3.5 years, these men, two men go up and down, telling the truth about that system, and men hate them, and they hate them for that, and finally kill them. But they're not angels, they're men, so they are killed. And then, as you'll see, they rise from the dead after 3.5 days and are caught up to heaven. And it says, verse 13, in that same hour there was a great earthquake, and a tenth of the city fell. A tenth of the city of Jerusalem crashed down. In the earthquake, 7,000 men were killed, and the rest were afraid. It gave God glory at that point. Finally, some of them began to give God a little glory. And the second woe was past. Behold, the third woe is coming quickly. Then it describes it, when Christ actually comes. Verse 15, and the seventh angel sounded. See, the seventh trump is finally going to take place here. They had all these other trumpet plagues, and finally the seventh trump sounds, verse 15, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ, and He shall reign, He shall rule forever and ever. This is the great God speaking. Christ is coming back. He's coming back at the last trump, but there are literal seven great big blasts coming across this earth, and a sound. And when these sounds begin to occur, these things are going to begin to happen. And at the seventh trump, Christ will come back to this earth as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, as Revelation 19 explains. How dare false ministers say that Christ may come tonight? For all these events, of course, would not occur if that happened. They've got to occur first. How dare false ministers say that we have no idea when Christ is returned? He might return tonight, or 100 years, or 1,000 years from tonight. That is not true at all. Other scriptures in the Bible make that very clear, that there's a whole series of events that have got to occur before Christ returns to this earth as King of Kings. Let's notice back in Matthew chapter 5 now, my friends. And let me just say while we're turning there, I think Satan the devil is counting on most of you being biblical illiterates. He's counting on you not to really study your Bible and prove these things and know what's going on. Let's turn to Matthew 24. And you'll notice, as I pointed out last time, Christ in effect says the same thing here He did in Revelation. He says in Matthew 24, when they ask Him, what will be the sign of your coming? Verse 3, and the end of the age. He began to tell them things to watch. First, He talks about false prophets. He said many, not a few, not some oddballs over here out of the mainstream. He's obviously talking about the mainstream. Many will come in My name saying, I am Christ. They'll say Jesus is the Christ. They'll use His name. They'll stamp Christian on the outside of the package. But inside is often paganism, pagan practices, ideas, concepts that are not found in the Bible at all. And they will deceive many. Then He describes wars and world wars, and then in verse 7, the latter part, there will be famines. Next come lack of food, which Revelation 6 describes, and disease epidemics. Horrifying disease epidemics are sweeping the earth. This thing of AIDS, the Ebola virus, and other things like that are going to get worse and worse, and many other things that the scientists and the doctors cannot handle. They will not be able to cure. They're going to begin to occur in your lifetime, my friends, if you live very many more years. Understand that. And earthquakes in various places, all these are the beginning of sorrows. And then this great, of course, punishment or tribulation on God's church is going to begin. Those who preach the truth, Jesus said, and pray that your flight may be not in the winter or on the Sabbath. Somewhere on this earth there are faithful people who are going to have to flee to a place of safety, as Revelation chapter 12 points out. And they're to pray that their flight not be in the winter or on God's Sabbath day. And most people have no interest in God's Sabbath day, but they'd better learn to get interested in it. Verse 21, for then there will be great tribulation. You see, the greatest trouble in the history of the earth at that point, such as not been since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. A time of trouble that is absolutely unprecedented, way more powerful than the Second World War. That's hard to comprehend, but that's what's about to happen. And unless days were shortened, unless that time were shortened by God Himself, no flesh would be saved. All human beings would be wiped off the earth. That's another reason to know we're near the time of the end. That time has never been possible before until this age of the atomic and hydrogen bomb and all these weapons to deliver those weapons. Now notice verse 29. Immediately after the tribulation, the sun, moon, and stars will be darkened, the heavenly signs, then the sign of the Son of Man will appear. Verse 33. So you also, when you see all these things, know that it is near at the very door. Christ does not say it's way off. He says when you see these things begin to happen, you know it's near at the very door. You know it's going to be in this very generation. Assuredly, I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till all these things are fulfilled. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. That's the one verse, verse 36, some of these guys grab onto, and they say, no one knows the day or the hour. But what they don't admit is that all these signs tell us which generation, and as you watch the signs, it obviously narrows down at pretty closely in that generation, so you can know after the things begin to occur even more within a few years, and finally probably within a few months, as these massive trumpet plagues begin to hit one right after the other, you're going to understand. So pray for understanding, and pray for real knowledge from God. Again, be sure to call or write us immediately. Request your free audio tape of this very program, and with it we will automatically send you a free subscription to our beautiful magazine entitled Tomorrow's World, just like this program. This magazine is filled with articles on Bible prophecy, on Christian living, and on the real meaning of life. Folks, you'll get understanding from this magazine that will really open your eyes. You need it. You'll love to get this magazine. I mean it. So call now and request your free audio tape and your absolutely free, no obligation, subscription to Tomorrow's World magazine. Even the phone call is free. So act now. Call now before you forget it.
This informative audio tape is yours absolutely free. No cost, no obligation. If you call this toll-free number, 1-800-934-5579. That's 1-800-934-5579. Or send your request to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 501-304, San Diego, California, 92150. With this offer, you will also receive your free subscription to Tomorrow's World magazine, full of timely articles and unique insights on today's important issues. No cost, no obligation to you. Call today.
Be sure to view the Tomorrow's World program every single week. Richard Ames and I will be giving you information unavailable anywhere else. So tune in each week for powerful programs on prophecy and on the very purpose of human existence. See you right here next week.
The informative audio cassette offered on this program is yours absolutely free if you call 1-800-934-5579. Or send your request to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 501-304, San Diego, California, 92150. Be sure to visit our webpage at www.tomorrowsworld.org. That address again is www.tomorrowsworld.org. The preceding program was produced by the Living Church of God.